We dedicate to learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Aharon ben Behia, whose yahrzeit is today on the 27th of Cheshvan, and for a complete refuah for all those that need it, B'soich Shar Chol Yisrael. We're in the middle of a discussion regarding a Shavuos Heses, which is a rabbinical oath, and the Shavuos Moedah B'Miktzas, which is an oath based on the written Torah. Rav Nosson Zal says now, paragraph Hey. V'alkein b'roiv ha'taynois v'asechsuchim sheyesh b'nei odam b'iskei masu matin al p'roiv tzrichin shvua. Based on what we've been learning so far in this halacha, we can understand why in most cases where there's disagreements between people regarding monetary matters, in most cases it ends up requiring one of them to take an oath. Ki asiyas ha'masu matin hu b'china sheshi simei achoyol she'machina slametes malachos. Because the whole concept of people doing business is related to the 6 days of the week, which is when we have the 39 acts of work being performed. Ki kol ha'asokim v'chol ha'masu matin kol b'lamates malachos ki muvah b'mokam acher. As Rabbeinu Zal tells us in chapter 4 in the second half of Likutei Maran, that all business and all work is included within this umbrella term of the 39 acts of work. V'lamates malachos, bohem nechazu amasanochosh, eitzadaz toivora. And these 39 acts of work have the tumah of the snake involved in them, the eitzadaz toivora. Ki heim bechinas beitzovoin toichaleno, bezeh asepecha toichalechem. Because they are all included in the curse that Hashem gave after Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, based on the advice of the snake, where Hashem said, "Be'itzofa in toichalena, you'll struggle to earn a livelihood." Bezeh asapecha toichalechem, again with struggle. Dahinu yegia saparnosa, shezeh bo'al yidei Eitz Hadas, which that struggle dates back to the act of Adam and Chava eating from the Eitz Hadas. V'alkein al pi roiv yecholim lipol chas v'shom ha'idei ha'masu matin l'b'china zu l'b'china Eitz Hadas toivora. And that's why in many cases it's easy for people who are conducting business to fall into this pigama, the Eitz Hadas, dahainu lihiyois koifer b'chaveroi, meaning for one of the people to deny that they ever borrowed or to deny the truth in the business. And for the person to find for themselves, to come up with some kind of an excuse as to why it's okay for them to lie, why it's okay for them not to conduct business properly, 100%. Examples of this are when the person admits partially or a person denies completely. Ki ikra masu matin shehu b'chinas lamates malachos shemichin sheish tamei achoyel hem b'chinas zu. Because the whole essence of people conducting business, these 39 acts of work, which are related to the 6 days of the week, is all related to this. Dahayu, the 6 days of the week corresponding to the six terms that are used in Mishnah, kosher, pasul, tamei, tohar, osur, mutar. Pam kosher, pam posel, which means sometimes kosher, sometimes not kosher. V'alkein tzrichim lihiyoy zohir benafshoy ma'oid ma'oid. And therefore a Jew has to be very, very careful, lasois masu matan be'emuna, to be able to conduct business properly, to be 100% trustworthy. Livli lipoy l'sheker v'rachas v'shom ha'idei masu matan. For the person not to fall into lying or any type of wrongdoing in business. V'alkein, and therefore, mi shenofal chas v'shom leize sheker, where there is a situation where somebody is in denial, they're denying the truth, v'yesh taina benoy ben chaveroi, and there is a litigation between the two people, they're forced to go to court, hatikun hu shavua. The solution sometimes is swearing, shehi b'chinas Shabbos, which we mentioned earlier in the previous year. Shavua is associated with Shabbos. Shavua is Miloshin Shiva, also seven, the seventh day, which is Shabbos. And I remember the Sefer Shari Oira brings an explanation of the connection between Shavua and Shabbos. Shehi Bechinas Naicha. Shabbos is not kosher, pasal, tomei, toher. Shabbos is the concept of rest, coming to rest. Shayidei zeh oilem venezbararim mebechinas eitz hadas, mebechinas sheshes me'achol, through which we're zeichet to rise up and become purified from the eitz hadas, from the 6 days of the week. Vezeichem lebechinas eitz hachayim, and we're zeichet to connect to the tree of life, not the Eitz Hadas, which brought the opposite, which brought death into the world. Bebechinas mashekoso bezoyar nal, as the Zohar Kodesh writes, which was we quoted in the previous year, ve'iovar alaraisa, if a person violates the Torah, goes against the Torah, is shakyo memariru di'ilonai, then that person is drawing from the bitterness of the tree, from the Eitz Hadas. Zebechinas mar mimovis. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech refers to in Koheles as bitterer than death. Bechinas atzvus, v'yegiyas ha'parnosa, depression, and all the struggles, all the negativity you found in earning a livelihood. Bechinas maso matan she'enoy be'emuna, people conducting business and not being honest and trustworthy. V'kemuvo b'divir Rabbeinu b'maymar tzvisa tzedek, as Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this in chapter 23 in Likutim Ram, Ayin Shom Heitev, study that chapter well. That's one of the main chapters in Likud Imran where Rabbeinu Zal really goes into the topic of money, the positive aspects and the negative aspects. And the Zohar HaKadosh continues, V'chatov b'tyuftor, and when the person is zeichet to do tshuva for their mistakes in business, Itmar, the Pasuk says, V'yoreyu Hashem Eitz, that when the Jews were in a place where the waters were bitter, and they complained about it, and Moshe Rabbeinu was nispalel to Hashem, the Pasuk says Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu a tree which would purify those waters, which would sweeten those waters. Do Eitz HaChaim, that refers to the tree of life. Hainu al yidei tshuva b'china Shabbos, shezeh b'china Shavua nal, through tshuva, which is associated with Shabbos. Remember, the commandment to do tshuva in the Chumash says, v'shavta ad Hashem alekecha, you will return to Hashem. Shavta is the letters Shabbos. So Shabbos is associated with tshuva. Shabbos is a time of doing tshuva for the entire week. There are people who during the entire week, they don't really get a chance to learn Torah as much as they would like to. Shabbos comes, no business, no that. I can attend more classes. I could learn more. I could daven longer. I could go to shul. Shezeo bechinas shavua, which is also associated with shavua, swearing. Al yidei zeh nizbarer hatoiv v'nidcha hara. And through this, the good becomes refined and elevated. The negativity is rejected. V'nimtak hamarir sanal. And that bitterness is sweetened. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says there, that Moshe Rabbeinu threw that piece of wood into the water, vayimtiku hamoyim, and the waters were sweetened. Ayin Shom, take a look in the Zohar HaKadosh where it speaks about this. Paragraph Vav, v'alkein ikar hashvua hi benekitas chefetz. And Rav Nosson Zal says now we understand why, according to the Torah, when a person is in a Jewish court and they have to swear, they have to hold a Sefer Torah while they're swearing. The Hainu Sefer Torah. They have to hold an object of holiness in their hand. And in Besen, usually this was a Sefer Torah. Ki ha Sefer Torah hi bechinas eitz hachayim. Because a Sefer Torah represents the tree of life. Shaydei zeh nimtak merira sanal. Which is what sweetens any of the bitterness, any of the negativity associated with earning a livelihood. V'nidche hora, and the evil is pushed away. V'yideze yoide be'emes. And this can push the person who's lying to admit to the truth. Ki nezbarer hatoiv mehara. Because the good becomes extracted and refined from the negative, from the bad. al yidei hashvua, through this oath, shu b'chinas Shabbos, b'chinas tshuva shalema, b'chinas naicha. That's what the shvua represents. It represents Shabbos, complete tshuva, and coming to rest. Not that swinging back and forth between good and bad. Baruch Hashem li'olam amen v'amen, which means that Rav Nosson Zal thought he finished the halacha at this point, and then something new came into his mind, and he added it on as an appendix. Paragraph Zion, V'alkei nikro shvuas ha-koifer ba-koil shvuas heses. Based on what we're learning here, we'll be able to understand, we mentioned earlier in the previous year and in this year, that there are two types of shvuah. There's a shvuah d'oraisa, a shvuah which comes from the written Torah, which is in the case of moida b'miktsas, where the person who borrowed the money, the lender says, I lent you $200. The borrower says, no, you only lent me $100, or I paid you back $100. I only owe you $100. Then he has to swear midoraisa. Whereas if he denies completely, there's no shvuah midoraisa. Rav Nachman and the rabbis instituted a shvuah heses, it's called. A shvuah in the case of complete denial. Why is it called heses? Because through this shvua, we remove, we push away that tumah of the original snake, shenikra mesis. That snake was called a mesis. A mesis is somebody who convinces somebody to do something. Kihu hamesis horishon, because that snake was the first original mesis who seduced and convinced Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Shemishon Iker Hora HaGomor, and that's the origin of real complete evil. Validei Shvuas Heses Shelakoifer Bakoil, and through this oath that's taken by this person who's denying completely, Aideze Mevarin Hatoiv Me Imke Haklipois. This gives us the ability to elevate and refine the good from within the deep, deep klipos, mizua masanochash, from the tomb of the snake. Ki onu roitzen lahachzer b'tshuva, afilu hakoifer bakoil. Because we really want everybody to do tshuva, even the person who is denying completely. Al yidei hashvua shehitilu alav, through this oath which the rabbis imposed upon him. Ki onu mechapsim amaitzen b'tshuvas, because we search for and we come up with possible ways to justify why this person is lying like this, why he's denying. Shema Safik Milvi Yeshana Yeshlo Yalav. Maybe he thinks that possibly he lent money to the lender a long time ago and it was forgotten about, the lender never paid it back, so now's my chance to get my money back. The Kanal and the other excuses that the Gemara gives, which we mentioned earlier. Nimtza, so through this shvua that we impose upon him, we're extracting the good from the depth of klipo. We're defeating and eliminating the tumah, the snake, shehu hamesis horishon, who was the original seductor. Alkei nikra shvuas heses. That's why the rabbi gave it this name, shvuas heses. Shehu loshen hasasa, kama shepir shu apoiskim. The word hesis means hasasa, which means where somebody tries to influence somebody, to seduce somebody into doing something wrong. Kalidei shvua zu doichin zua masanochosh. Because through this oath, we remove that tumah of the snake, shehu hamesis, who was that original mesis. By the fact that we were able to search for and come up with a nekuda toiva, a possible defense, even for this person who's denying completely that they ever borrowed. Umatilin shvua alav, we impose a shvua on the person, kedei sheyachzor b'tshuva v'yoyde b'emes, in order to force the person to do tshuva and to admit the truth. Many people who would not tell the truth, when Bezin says, bring out the Sefer Torah, and they warn the person that if you chas v'shalom swear falsely, there's very few things that are worse than that, and you have no idea what kind of harm this can bring on you and your family, etc., that could shake up the person, even a person who lied before, to be willing to admit the truth. Baruch Hashem. With this, we complete this second halacha. Halacha Gimel. Hanoshe b'chaveiro imona. If Reuven lends Shimon $100, v'chaveiroi b'chaveiroi, and then late at a later point, Shimon lends Levi $100, and when it comes time for Shimon to pay back Reuven, he doesn't have this. Moitzien mizeh v'noitzen lezeh. We take from Levi and we give to Reuven. Mid Rabbi Nosson, based on something that Rabbi Nosson taught us. It's called Shibuda de Rabbi Nosson, where Reuven has the right to go to Levi. Levi says, I don't know you. You never lent me any. He says, I don't care. I lent money to Shimon. Shimon lent you money. He's not paying back. Instead of you paying him, pay me. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Venosan la'asher osham loy. You will give the money, you'll return the money to the one whom it's really owed to. And again, the Gemara speaks about this. It's called Shibuda de Reb Nosson, and in Chosh Mishpat, chapter 86, is where the Shulchan Aruch speaks about this. Ve'isa shom, zeh mevur al pi mashikosu b'maim ramaschil tiku hamadaber ne'emuna b'likutei tanina. This whole concept will be clarified based on what Rabbi Nazar writes at the end of chapter 5 in the second half of Likutei Moran, Ayin Shon B'Soif HaMaimar. Take a look towards the end of that chapter. That's one of the Rosh Hashanah Torahs. It's a long chapter, 7-8 pages. And towards the end, Rabbi Nazar speaks about Tikkun HaMishpat, correcting all the injustices, all the problems in Mishpat. Ve'isashon, and it's Rabbi Nazar writes there towards the end, B'dibur HaMaschil, U'be'emes U'dovor Godol Ma'oid L'hashluch Mi'itoi Kol HaChochmois. Rabbi Nazar there speaks about tmimus, about simplicity and sincerity, and Rabbi Nazar says it's a very, very big thing for a person to rid themselves of all kinds of sophistication. K'al yidei zeh na'aseh tikkun ha'mishpat, because that will help correct a lot of injustices. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Tohoim el Tohoim Koire Abba Meimecha. One depth of the earth calls out to the other place in the depths of the earth, give forth your waters. Shehu Hamishpat. And these waters are referring to justice. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, V'yigal Kamayim Mishpat. Justice will flow like water. Hainu hamishpot shenofal ada tohoim. This is referring to the concept of justice which has fallen down into the lowest depths. Bebechinas mishpotecho tohoim rabba. As the Pasuk says, the Pasuk associates mishpot with tohoim, with very deep. Kimalin hamishpot min hatohoimos alidei hatmimus. Because by people developing tmimus, simplicity and sincerity, that helps us elevate the mishpat from its fallen state, from the tohimois that it's fallen into. Now Rav Nosson Zal begins. Paragraph Beis. V'zeh b'chinas moitzien mida Rav Nosson. And this will explain the concept that the Gemara speaks about, that we take out money from Levi to give to Reuven, to pay back Shimon's loan, that Shimon borrowed money from Reuven. Sheyesh koyach b'mishpat ikdusha shel abes n'sedek, shu b'chinas tikkun ha'mishpat, lahalois ha'mishpat me'im kei tohoimois. The Torah is teaching us that a kosher bezdin, a religious Jewish bezdin, has the authority and the power to correct mishpat, to correct the injustice, and to elevate the mishpat from the lowest places. Mibchinas tohoim el tohoim koire. The tohoim is the depth, is calling out to the depth. Shezel bechinas shemoitzien mizeh venoitzen lozeh. This represents this concept of taking from one tohoim, taking from one place, and giving to a different place. Instead of Levi returning the money to the one who we borrowed it from Shimon, we're going to take the money from Levi and give it to Reuven. Ki yesh koyach lahabezin shehum nishpat yigdusha lahaloi samishpat mikol mokoim shenofa v'sham. Because a proper bezin, which represents holy mishpat, has the authority and the power to elevate mishpat from wherever it fell into, mitohoim litohoim, from one time to from one borrower to another. V'ze b'chinas masha bezin noisnin shtar lamalve b'tchila sagvia sheyelech v'yechapes b'chol mokoim sheyimtza nechse haloive sheyetziem liatzmoim. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch means when it says that Besdin will give a document to the lender when it comes time to collect, that he should go and search wherever the borrower has any assets, wherever the borrower, if he lent any money to anybody, that the Malveh should be able to go and take it for himself. Ki kol zeh hu b'chinas koyach ha-mishpat digdusha shel ha-Besdin Tzedek. All of this represents the holy justice of a true bezdin, that they have this authority. They have the ability to refine and correct and elevate the mishpat from the lowest depths, from however far down the mishpat has fallen. This is the wording in the Gemara. We take from Levi and we give to Reuven. Kize b'chinas tohoim el tohoim koirei abba beimecha. This is what the pasuk's referring to over there, where one depth calls out to the other one, give forth your water. Give. Dahainu, hachze avoritze hamishpot shenofal elecha, meaning that Reuven is going to Levi and saying, return this money that fell into your hands. I lent money to Shimon. Shimon lent money to you. Now give it back to me. Dainu hamomin shel hamal v'horishayim, the money of the original lender, hamagiyaloi, which he deserves, al pidin u'mishpat tzedek, based on true justice, shenofa lahaloive, that money first fell into the hands of Shimon. Shimon borrowed it from Reuven. U'mehaloive lahaloive hasheni, and from Shimon it went to Levi, who was the second borrower. This is a concept of the mishpat falling from one depth to the other depth. And Besdin has the authority to elevate and extract the mishpat from all the tohoimois. And to return that money based on justice belongs to Reuven, as the pasuk says, Venosan la'asher osham loy, return the money to the one who was being wronged. Shimon is wronging him by Shimon not returning the loan. We'll go to Levi and get it from him. Shetzrichim lahamid hamishpat al mechoinoi. We have to establish the justice, proper justice. Ulahalo samishpat meimkei atohimois, and to elevate the mishpat from the whatever fallen places it has fallen into. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain what's going on here. We're talking about borrowing money, and you're talking about mishpat, you're talking about justice, and you're talking about fallen mishpat. Rav Nosson Zal is going to clarify this now. Ki ikar halvois nimshach mipigam nefilas hamishpat. The whole concept of a Jew having to borrow money represents the fact that justice, mishpat, true mishpat, has fallen. Shemishom ikar anius. That's what causes poverty. Shaydeze muchrochem lilvoisech mechaveroi, which causes one Jew to have to borrow from another one. Ki pegam hamishpat zebechinas mashe'en yoiden hahasogo shel tzadik v'toivloi roshevaraloi. The Gemara tells us that one of the most important examples of Pegam HaMishpat is when a person thinks that Hashem is not conducting himself properly with the person, that the heavenly court is making a mistake. that why am I suffering? I'm such a good person. I see other people who are bad people and they have a lot of money and I'm a good person, I don't have money. The concept of tzaddik varaloi, rosha v'toivloi, which the Gemara speaks about in Brachas, page 14, that's one of the major questions that people struggle with very often, and that's called pigama mishpat, where you dare to question Hashem's justice. Why Hashem seems to be doing the wrong thing. He's giving wealth and money and prosperity to the Russia, and the good people are suffering. Ve'inyin zeh nimshach misoid gilgulei hanishamois kemuva b'zoyer HaKadosh. And the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that one of the reasons for this is Gilgul, reincarnation. We look at what we see in front of us right now. Right now, this person seems to be a good person, the other guy's a bad person, and the bad person is having the good life, and the good person is suffering. But we don't know what happened in previous Gilgulim, in previous reincarnations. And very often, there could be things that were done wrong in previous Gilgulim that have to be repaired, and it's being repaired now. And that's why we see what we call good people suffering. Right now, these people are good people. We don't know in a previous Gilgul, they might have made mistakes or things that need to be corrected. Shezeu b'chinas, this is also tied into Zeh b'chinas zeh she'omru l'Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, the Gemara in Tainus, which the Zohar HaKadosh also quotes, where the Gemara says Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas was extremely, extremely poor, super poor. And one day when he was feeling desperate, he put his head down and he saw a vision where Hashem came to him, the Shekhinah came to him and said, Ibois the Icharuv Alma, would you like me to destroy the world, the Efsha de Ivris Beshata de Mezaina, and recreate the world? And maybe you'll be created in a time of plentifulness, in a time of Shefa. This is the story as it appears in the Gemara. The Tikkuni Zohar explains, what's destroying what world? The Isa b'tikkunim shezeh soid ha-gilgul. What this was referring to was that Hashem was offering, would you want me to terminate your life now and bring you back again in b'gilgul, in reincarnation? And maybe in your new Gilgul, you'll have power. You won't be poor. Sheyizgalgel beguf acher, his soul will be reincarnated into another body. Shehu bechinas oylam acher. That's what the Gemara is referring to when the Gemara says, destroy the world and recreate the world and maybe you'll have parnasa. Nemtza, sheikr chisoron haparnasa vohaniyis vavois hurak mitzad ha-gilgul. So we see here that one of the main reasons why people sometimes are suffering, lack of parnasa, poverty, having to borrow, is that it's related to Gilgul, it's related to reincarnation. Shehu b'chinas galgal shechoizer bo'ilam. As the Gemara says, that the Gemara speaks about the wheel of fortune, that money is compared to a wheel. One minute the person is down on bottom, and the wheel turns, and this person later on is on top. And then the wheel turns, and people who are on top, people who are very wealthy, the wheel turns and they lose their wealth. This connection between money and galgal and gilgul. The kamufa b'divrei Rabbi Nezahal, as Rabbi Nezahal speaks about this in chapter 14 in Likutei Moran, al maima Rabba Bar Bar Chana, when Rabbi Nezahal is explaining the story in the Gemara of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. And in the story there, it says that somebody put down a basket of food in a certain place and they came back the next day and it wasn't there. So he said, what's going on here? Are there thieves up here? So the explanation was, no, galgalahu dahadar. It's a wheel of fortune that turns. And if you come back here tomorrow or at a certain time, you'll find your bread basket. Shehi gilgula denishmasin. This is alluding to this concept of reincarnation of souls. Shemishom nimtzach tzadik v'toivloi tzadik v'ra'aloi roshu v'toivloi roshu v'ra'aloi. That's why you see sometimes tzadikim who have it good, and you have tzadikim who have terrible problems. And then sometimes you see rishoim who have it very good, and you see rishoim who are having terrible problems. Shaydezeh muchruch shayir anies v'havoyes boilam. This is what causes, this is what forces a situation of poverty and people having to borrow. V'chol ha'kfirois shebenot mochadeiroi, and all situations of denial where one person lies to the other in business. Shehu pegam ha'mishpot, which is an example of an injustice. Sheroitzel ligzol momen chaveiroi sheloi b'mishpot, where one person is trying to rob another person without injustice. Ze nimsha gamke misoy gilgulei ha'neshamois. This is also related to the secret of reincarnation of souls. Kimash, watch how Rav Nosson Zal explains this now. The fact that Shimon has a desire for Reuven's money and he wants to rob him, he wants to take money from Reuven improperly, it's very possible that the reason why Shimon is attracted to Reuven's money is because he has a connection to that money from a previous reincarnation. Bechinas, as the Gemara hints to this, when the Gemara says, Shema Safik Milvi Yeshana Yeshlo Yalav, maybe Shimon thinks that he lent money to Reuven a while back, and now he thinks this, and Reuven never paid it back, and this is his opportunity to collect it. Hainu milva yeshana besoid ha-gilgul. What this is referring to, this could even be a previous loan in a previous lifetime, in a previous reincarnation. Ki ikar kol ha-taivois b'sharoshan heim dvorim kidoishim u'gavoyim oi. Because the whole concept that people desire certain things, they have desires for certain things, is rooted in very holy things and very high level. It means very often that there's a soul attraction. Let's say you have a certain person who likes oranges and they don't like apples. And no, you put a beautiful plate of fruit in front of them and the apples are good. Take an apple. No, I don't eat apple. I don't like apples. Well, no, you don't like apple. Are you normal? No, I like oranges. What do you mean? People have different tastes. That could mean that this person has an attraction to the type of kedusha, to the type of gilgul that's found in an orange and not found in an apple. And that's why there's an attraction. Rak lemato, however, down below here on earth, so on a certain spiritual level, it's high up there. But down here on earth, nizgashen, it turns into something physical and materialistic. V'osr lanu likach shum davar koydem zmanoi. And we are not allowed to take anything before the right time. Meaning, if my money is in Reuven's pocket, I'm not allowed to go put my hand into his pocket, take out the money. If Hashem knows that that's mine, Hashem will work out a way that it should come to me, and I have to be patient and wait, not lie or cheat or steal to get that money. V'ikar kol hachatoyim v'apigomim, and one of the main causes for all sins is the fact that people can't wait. They want to get something before the right time. And the person isn't able to overcome their desire and to be willing to wait till they'll be able to get that thing kosher. It'll come to them kosher. And instead, they're willing to break the law in order to get it quicker. K'mar Sham Rabbi saying, it's like the Gemara says in Yuma, B'shimcha yikra'ucha, u'bimekoimcha yoshivucha, u'mishalcha yitnu lecha. They will call you by your name, and in your place they will put you, and from what's yours they will give you. Hashem will give it to you. Don't take. Hashem will give you what belongs to you. Don't take it by yourself in an illegal manner. V'alkein ikar ha'chet horishon shehu chet odom horishon hoyorak ma shelehimten bezivug oyad Shabbos. And this is why the Arizal explains that when we speak about the sin of the Eitz Hadas, one of the main sins, one of the main factors that caused all the problems at that time was the fact that Adam HaRishon didn't wait. He didn't wait. He and Chava were created on Friday. Had he waited to unite with Chava on Shabbos, everything would have been perfect. The fact that they didn't wait and they united during on Friday, on that 6th day, it was the cause of all the problems. And this is why the Pasuk refers to a person's sins as unripened fruit. It's a fruit that hasn't developed completely. It hasn't ripened completely. As the Pasuk says in Yecheskel Anavi, chapter 18, Avos yoichlu boiser. Your forefathers ate unripened fruit. The main sin very often is that the person is taking something before the right time. Ube'emes ikar ho eis lahasig tam hatoiv ho amiti hu rak lo'osid lovoi. The real truth is that when will we Jews really experience the good taste of life? Not in this world, in the next world, in the future. The ashrei mi shemamtin umisapek al tavosei kol yemei olam hazeh. And fortunate is that Jew who's willing to wait and refrains and holds back from fulfilling their desires in this world. The soisen ein of mechesed ayam alagamri. And the person closes their eyes to all the desires of this world. Umamtin letoyev hanitzchi, and is willing to wait for the eternal good. As the Pasuk says in Sefanya Navi, chapter 3, Lochein chakuli leyoim kumi la'ad. Therefore, wait for me. Wait for the day that will be eternal. Ki bevada yiske letaynu ko amiti. Because a person who avoids the taivus of this world and is willing to wait, that person will certainly be zecher to the true pleasure. Letaynig hanitzchi, to the eternal pleasure. However, even in this world, there are cases, there are situations where what makes something forbidden is that it's forbidden today. If you'll wait till tomorrow or a week from now, it's kosher. Chametz. On Pesach, you're not allowed to eat chametz. Pesach is over, no problem. You can go for the pizza, you can have whatever you want. On a fast day, you're not allowed to eat today, but at the end of it, tomorrow you'll be at night you'll be allowed to eat. Ve'im yamtin ad boi itoi, and if the person will wait till the right time comes, yikabel beheter. Very often they'll receive that same item that now is treif, they'll receive it in a kosher manner. U'kamayshom Rabbi Seinazal, as the Gemara Menachos, page 44, tells an incredible story. The Gemara says there that there was a person, a Jew, who had terrible, terrible desires for women. And he heard about a certain illicit woman that lived far away, far distance away, and she took the highest price, 400 gold zehuvim. And sure enough, he was interested, and he sent her the money. He sent the money and made an appointment. And he went there, and he prepared himself, and the Gemara goes into a little bit of detail to all the preparations. And then right before he was about to commit the sin, his tzitzis, he was wearing tzitzis, and a wind blew and flew the tzitzis into his face. And he reminded himself, I'm a Jew, and I'm wearing tzitzis. I don't belong here. What am I doing here? And he left. He went away. And the woman came after him and said, I'm not going to allow you to leave unless you tell me what you saw wrong in me. What do you see that's no good in me? He said, I don't see anything wrong in you. You're perfect on a physical level. He said, so she said, then why are you leaving? And he told her a little about tzitzis, that there is this mitzvah that it represents all 613 mitzvahs. And regarding tzitzis, it says, V'loy sasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei nechem, don't follow the desires of your eyes, so I can't go through with this. She said, I'm not letting you leave until you give me your name and you tell me what city you come from. And sure enough, he gave her his name, city. The Gemara says she was very, very wealthy. She took her wealth and divided into three parts. A third she gave away to the Roman government so that they should allow her to convert. And a third she did something else. She gave to poor people. And a third she kept with her, and she traveled to the city where this person lived, and she searched for him. She found which yeshiva he's part of, and she went into the yeshiva and she said to the Rosh Yeshiva that you have this student here, this man, I want to marry him. And she told the whole story, and the Rosh Yeshiva told the man, that bed which was prepared for you in Isur, which you would have committed one of the worst sins, now you're going to have it 100% galat kosher. This woman did a real sincere conversion, and they were able to be married 100% kosher. So we see this is an example where sometimes a person is attracted to something and it's forbidden to them. And if the person is zeicher to overcome the test, that same item could become 100% permissible. V'haklal, the general rule about this is, ki ikar koyach habal dovor shemeses hisodom letayvoy ledvar averich asashom hurak machma sheyesh lezeho odom eze shaychis lezeho inyan kafi shosh anashomais. Rav Nosson Zal says this is a fact, this is a rule, that when the Yitzhara tries to convince somebody to go after something, to desire something in a strong way, very often the reason why the Yitzhara is pushing them for that item specifically is because that item has a connection to the person in the origin, in the roots of that person's soul. Rak shehu tzorich achshav lehisapik al tavosoi. However, right now, in this world, based on the laws of the Torah, that person has to control their desire ad yovo itoy, until the right time will come when they'll be able to have that item kosher. Oy, she'efsha shiyovo itoy boilam azeh, she'yikabel dover zeh beheter. One possibility is that that item will become permissible to the person in this world. Oy lefomim eni yochel kabel zeh kim boilam hapo. Or sometimes that item will never become permissible to the person while they're physically living. It'll become permissible to them in the future world. If the person will pass the test, and he'll break his desire now, then in the future world, there's no bodies, there's no women, there's no men. In the future world, that person will be zeicher to receive and enjoy the pleasure that they're supposed to get from that item. They'll get it on a spiritual level, in its spiritual roots. Shehu oyer tzach umetzuchtzach, which is a pure, super pure divine light. Tainug ruchni, it's a spiritual pleasure. Tainug amiti, it's a real pleasure. All the pleasures of this world are here today, gone tomorrow. It's short-lived. I once saw in one of the Mefarshim, they write about this week's Parsha, Parsha's Toilos, where it speaks about Esav and Yaakov. So the Pasuk says, Vayehav Yitzchok es Esav. Yitzchok liked, he loved Esav, ki tzayid befiv, because Esav provided him with food. Verivko oyheves es Yaakov. But Rivka loves Yaakov. Now, if you paid attention, there's a problem here. Vayehav is past tense. Oyheves is present tense. What is the Torah trying to teach us? It's trying to tell us that Esav, who is all about Gashmias, Tzai Befiv, eating now, that's past tense. That's here today, gone tomorrow. You go to a restaurant, you have that big meal, a day later, a week later, never happened. You forget completely about it. You can't experience that pleasure, that taste again, it's gone. Whereas Yaakov Avinu, the word Ekev means the future, Ikvis de Mashicha. Ekev means the end, like. Yaakov represents Ruchnius, spirituality. By Yaakov, it says, Verivko oyheves is Yaakov, present tense. That's always, that never becomes past. A spiritual pleasure stays with the person permanently, eternally. V'zeh shekosel, and this is what the Pasuk says, Loisashekes reyecha, do not steal from your friend. Rav Nosson Zal says, reyecha daiko, why does it say your friend? V'chein loisach moi beis reyecha, don't desire, don't crave your friend's house. Re'echo daiko, your friend. Ki kol echod yesh lechem de lebeis re'ehu daiko. Because every person has a desire, a craving for his friend's house. Haynu shehu re'ehu v'chaveroi b'sharoshoi kefi gilgulei hanishomois. The term friend here means that they come from the same roots spiritually. Begilgul, the reincarnation. They are connected. Their souls are connected. In a situation where, let's say, in a previous Gilgul, this money was Shimon's, or other variations of this, that's why Shimon has a craving, a desire for that money or that house, which now belongs to Reuven in this new Gilgul. Avol be'emes ha'Torah his heroi sano azeh. However, the Torah warns us about this. Ki osur liga b'shal chaveroi. You're not allowed to touch something that belongs to someone else. Afal pishu chaveroi v're'ehu b'sharosh mitzad Gilgul. Even if from an aspect of Gilgul there's a soul connection between you two, between you and that person, between you and that money. Afal pikein zeh ha'mishpot l'loikim. The only one who can put those things in order is Hashem. You're not allowed to rearrange the monies. V'Hashem Yisborach Yodea Tavumois, and Hashem knows all secrets. And Hashem knows Ech Lesader Hamomen V'Chafetzim B'Chol Dor V'Dor. Hashem knows how to organize and reorganize the money and the houses and everything in every generation. Who it should go to and when it should go. And it's forbidden for a Jew to take anything illegally from someone else. And even to desire something that belongs to someone else is extremely forbidden. But rather we have to believe in Hashem, ki yeshorim darkei Hashem, that Hashem knows what he's doing. Everything Hashem does is 100% righteous. Ulekabel mishpotoi bi'ahava, and to accept Hashem's justice with love. V'lismoyach b'chalkei Hashem, Hashem, and to be very, very happy with what Hashem has given me, my wife, my house, my belongings. Any questions?
Rabbi?
Yes.
And the tremendous Yad Rishmai last Shabbos, one of our chavirim asked me this exact question, that anyone you ask, what's Chet Adam Rishon? It's eating from the Yitzhak before Shabbos. But here it says, the Iker is that he didn't wait for the Zivug.
Exactly.
What does that mean?
It means exactly what it says. That the Torah tells us that there's a certain level of holiness when a husband and wife are together during the 6 days of the week. There's a completely different level when it's on Shabbos. And a Talmud Chacham is supposed to wait for Shabbos. It says, V'shamru v'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos. The Jews will observe Shabbos. The word lishmor means to guard. The word lishmor means to wait for. It says by Yaakov and Yosef, V'oviv shomar es ha-dovor, that his father was waiting to see what would come of the dreams of Yosef HaTzadik. So here the Zohar HaKodesh and the Arizal go into this, that had Adam waited till Shabbos, none of those things would have, the Eitz Hadas wouldn't have happened, all the different things, problems wouldn't have happened.
Nassim, good morning.
Yes.
The idea of a Milva Yashana being understood as is delaying because of an old unpaid loan, and the Noshan Zal is teaching us this is hinting to the possibility in a previous Gilgal.
Correct.
So, just in terms of that, this whole, in terms of our ability to judge people favorably, etc., we can't be, I say, well, maybe that happened because of a previous Gilgal. I mean, it's a very remote thing. I'm just wondering how we can bring that practically into our life, because at the end of the day, everything is a previous Gilgul, because we're all McGalvin in a bunch of times. So I'm just wondering, where can it be used, where should it not be used, how could it be misused, etc.
One of the main places it could be used is in litigations between people. The Parshas in the Chumash, Parshas Mishpatim, is the main place in the Chumash where it speaks about all the laws of litigation, money matters, and everything related to that. The Zohar HaKodesh begins Parshas Mishpatim by saying Do Rosa de Gilgula. This is the secret of reincarnations, telling us that a lot of what you see going on in money matters, this one buying from this one and buying and selling and trading and stealing, and is based on Gilgulim. A lot of it is based on Gilgulim. And there are stories among the tzaddikim, you know, where they were able to recognize this kind of thing. Rav Nosson Zal showing us here, we do not know the secret of Gilgulim. Therefore, we have to play by the rules of the Torah. We need to know that Hashem wants us to follow the laws, everything it says in Chumash Mishpatim, and in Baba Kama, and Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, Sanhedrin, all of those Gemaras, which expound on Parshas Mishpatim. But we need to know that if the question is, why? Why does that person want my boat? Why does that person want my house so much that, you know? The answer is sometimes, and very often, Rav Nosson Zal said, you know, that it's not, this isn't so rare. There's a soul connection between this person and that house, or this person and that car, this, and that's why they want it so much. That's why, you know. But again, we must follow the laws of the justice of the Torah. I hope that clarifies it. Question in the chat. So taiva is actually a pleasure which is a light of Hashem. Exactly. Exactly. Remember, the word nefesh means desire. We have that pasuk in the beginning of Chayesorah, Im yeshes nafshechem likbor es moisi. So the fact that a person desires an orange, a particular fruit, or sometimes means that there's a soul connection based on Gilgulim, especially between the person and that item. Wishing everybody a wonderful day. Tomorrow, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, we'll have the shir again, we hope. And today is Yom Kippur Katan. I hope to be going right now to Miron as a shliach for all of us. Hashem should help all of us be zecher to tshuva shleima, to emuna shleima, to a refuah shleima, and to a geula shleima. B'mehera b'yameinu.